Coddersill's kickoff. This is Radio City Talk.
Okay, let's have a look at the Premier League and a little bit lower into the National League as well with BT Sports' Matt Smith. Morning to you, Matt.
Morning, Steve. How are you?
Great, thank you. Just grabbed you back off your holidays. You're into the fray now, aren't you?
I am, mate, as we all are. Yes, I've done my best to stay away from it, but it's dragged me back in. I'm looking forward to getting my teeth into it all again from this week with the Champions League draw, the group phase. Obviously, fingers crossed, including Liverpool on Thursday.
It's a great moment, isn't it? That first Champions League draw for the group stage. There's such sort of fervour and excitement that goes around it.
Yeah, oh, definitely, definitely. I mean, obviously, firstly, you have to qualify if you haven't already done that, and hopefully confirmation of the weights of Liverpool and Celtic this week. And then if that happens, then clearly five English teams and a Scottish team makes up a big part of that group of 32 teams that get drawn together. But it's fantastic because you start to see how the ties will come into place between now and December. And there should be some cracking ties with that number of clubs involved to look forward to. Obviously, they're kept apart, the English clubs, at least. But Celtic, likely as not, might well end up with an English team, given that there are so many in the draw. And that obviously will throw up a couple of great nights. But yeah, there will be an awful lot to look forward to once that draw happens on Thursday.
There's so much analysis as to why English clubs haven't managed to achieve in the past sort of 6-7 years. We had that period between 2000 and 2010 where it was just taken for granted, wasn't it? So whether it was Liverpool, sort of Chelsea, United getting to the latter stages, Arsenal kept doing it. And now all that seems gone, doesn't it?
Yeah, it is a bit cyclical, I think, for one reason or another. I think if you think back to around 2000 was when Bayern Munich were quite dominant. That side broke up and it took them a few years to get their act together. And similarly, I think both Real Madrid and Barcelona were in a building phase around that period. Neither were particularly dominant. Once they all got their ducks in a row, I think those three teams have come to dominate European scene. Since then, the Italian teams had fallen back. Obviously, PSG have put more and more and more money into trying to compete at the highest level and are still, as of now, not able to say that they're European champions. So the English teams, I think, are getting back somewhere to near where they were with the financial power that now is available to them. But it's how you spend it. They've got all this money to spend, but they are probably still, as we are seeing day in, day out, still slightly in the shadow, certainly of Real Madrid and Barcelona in terms of pulling power, and arguably to an extent Bayern Munich. So, yeah, they're not quite back to the force that they were yet, but I think they're getting there. They're getting there.
Do you think any of those English participants, and obviously fingers crossed that Liverpool would be one of them, do you think any of them are set up, have enough depth to actually go a long distance in this season's competition?
Well, without stating the obvious, I suppose the two Manchester clubs look to have the deepest squads, I would say, as of now. The window's not yet shut, but they look to have the most available to a manager to cope on all fronts. And I think it is partly a question of that. If you've got domestic cup competitions, obviously Premier League and all that goes with that physically and the length of season, and then a long run in Europe, you're asking a big and depth of quality squad to cope with all of that. So to look at the squads that are available to the managers at the moment, I would say the two Manchester clubs have got more than anybody else. Chelsea are obviously looking to do quite a lot, I think, before the end of the window, and arguably so are Liverpool. Whether it's ins, outs or both, I think they've still got work to do to have enough for the manager to think, I'm comfortable to cope with all from the season.
You mentioned PSG before. I don't know whether you saw Neymar's goal yesterday against Toulouse. I mean, absolutely ludicrous, wasn't it? Almost sort of the show-off in the playground.
A bit Harlem Globetrotters, yeah. I mean, you'd have to very much, with a professional head on, you'd have to very much question the Toulouse defending.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, it's a joy to watch a player in his prime able to do that to a professional defence, even a slightly Keystone Cops one like Toulouse looked last night. So, he's clearly already, I think, the darling of Paris. The thing, I suppose, that he can't say, but we all suspect, is that he hasn't moved particularly for the money. I don't think he's particularly moved to be the king of Paris or French football. He's moved because he was never going to be the biggest star in the sky at Barcelona with Messi and to an extent Suarez next to him. He's gone to be the top dog at his own team. And that is clearly what he already is in Paris. Whether he can take them to a Champions League win, we shall see. But he's certainly already setting everybody's hearts racing in Paris.
Well, he hasn't struggled to settle in, has he? He's not bashful. He's not shy. No, so PSG no. will be one of those names we'll be looking at. How are BT sort of covering the draw on Thursday then?
Yep, so I'm in the studio with guests on Thursday to follow it. Obviously, we'll take everything that happens out at UEFA as part of that. So we'll see the draw unfold live. And then we'll react to it and get reaction from the clubs, obviously, hopefully the five English and one Scottish club involved, and from the pundits with me in the studio. So we'll have it all covered for you on Thursday afternoon, I think it is, from the studio and in Switzerland with UEFA. And then we'll start to obviously see how all the fixtures line up. And that's all part of obviously a huge offering, again, from BT this season. Obviously, I'm involved with the National League, the Premier League, FA Cup in due course, Europa League to boot. So no shortage of football for all the fans and all the stuff across Europe, the French, obviously Italian and German to boot.
I'll tell you what, that Stephen Gerrard's turned into an OK pundit, hasn't he? He's not bad on the telly.
He's not bad. He's not bad. He knows his stuff. He is, like all players of his standing. Frank obviously has also joined this summer. When they've achieved that much and clearly have that depth of knowledge, when they talk, we listen, don't we? And quite right too. But yeah, lots of insight. I think they're quite honest, I think, more than perhaps we've come to expect of recently yeah. retired players. You know, you get that kind of slight concern that they're going to sit on the fence a lot of the time because they know the individual's concerned. They don't want to put anybody's nose out of joint. But the lads seem to be quite willing to say it how they see it. And I think that's refreshing and obviously gives us much more of a feel of what goes on inside a team, inside a dressing room on a pitch.
Right, let's get a thought on Liverpool and Everton. I know you love your European football. For me, Salah was a bit of a new boy to watch. I hadn't seen that much of him before this season, but I've been hugely impressed. Of course, he just came on as a sub at the weekend, but I think it changed the dynamic of everything, really. So quick. He could prove to be an absolute main man for Liverpool this season.
Definitely. I think he's a valuable addition. They've lacked pace when they recruited Mane last season. I think it made a huge difference to them in terms of the pace they offered and how that disjoints opposition defences. Now they've got, if you like, twin options there, twin turbos down either side. But what I think, we're very good against people for Basel a few years
ago. Oh, Matt, we're just losing you. Just shift to the side. We just lost your signal ever so slightly. Sorry, go on, sir.
Is that a slight bit? The days with Basel was very good, but he's become more mature, obviously, at his time at Chelsea. That wasn't ideal for him, but he was maturing, I think, as a player, not only with the speed, does now he have a lot to offer in terms of craft and intelligence. So I think we've put the two together. As with Mane, he's got a hell of a player.
Yeah, I think there's a few conundrums in that Liverpool side. I think when they started with Mane, Firmino and Sturridge at the weekend, it didn't work for me. As soon as perhaps even Solanke was in the middle, the big man was in the middle, I thought it worked a lot better with Mane and Salah either side of him, almost him being the totem pole and those two doing whatever they wanted on the flanks. People have different opinions on that. I think Firmino is the manager's favoured choice to start down the middle there. But that was a chance for Sturridge to maybe impress, and he didn't really grab it with a goal.
He didn't, but it is his first involvement in terms of competitive football this season. Obviously, had a stop-start season last season, as he so often does. So I think perhaps judge him a little bit over the piece. I think Crystal Palace were quite obdurate, certainly for the first hour, 70 minutes even on Saturday. By that time, he'd come off. I think Firmino obviously does give the manager more options. He works more without the ball. I think he's perhaps a bit of a slightly cleverer player perhaps than Daniel in terms of his angles and his movement, which makes space for other players. But Sturridge is essentially a goal scorer who will persist with him, and they clearly are going to, and he's going to persist with them. But I think his opportunities, we've just discussed the fact they're on so many fronts this season, his turns will come. He's got to take them. He's got to score goals and play well for the team. And if he does that, he'll be a very valuable part of that front line. But it won't be the same players every game or for the duration of any game now this season. It can't be. Rotation's going to have to be part of the picture.
Everton have got a hell of a month coming up in the Premier League. They start against Man City tonight, Chelsea away next, Tottenham at home, Manchester United away. That is four huge games. And of course, they start with the team that many have got as the odds-on favourite for the league.
Yeah, I don't know about odds-on favourites, but certainly probably one of the very standout teams to look at in terms of the recruitment they've made to go with what they already had in place at Man City and a very good manager to boot. already with a season of experience in the Premier League. But from Everton's point of view, great recruitment, I think. They've shown their intent. They've backed the manager this summer. They will probably still want a number nine of stature if they could find one and the right players available between now and the end of the window. I don't know if that's going to happen, but they've certainly recruited well. They look better than they were. They look solid at the back. I've been impressed with Michael Keane. Sigurdsson is a very valuable addition. Whether he can be involved straight away, I think that will be great from an Everton point of view. So they look strong in terms of the individuals. Now, they need to be knitted together by Koeman and cope with all those tests you've rightly pointed out over the next few weeks. It will be a tough run for them. But if they can come through it, not necessarily with loads of wins, but with performances that are encouraging to the fans, then the Blues army, I think, will be very encouraged by what the season and the next few years might hold.
That's an 8 o'clock kickoff tonight. That one's on Sky Sports. Just a thought. I know you covered brilliantly the National League last season, and Tranmere came so close, and many people had them as the favourites at the very start of this campaign. But the wheels have fallen off already. So five games, one win. They lost at the weekend to Eastleigh 2-0. They've had four games where they haven't scored. What has gone so terribly wrong for Tranmere Rovers, Matt?
Well, I had them down as certainly one of the favourites at the start of the season, and I still would think they'll be up there, to be honest. It's a long season in the National League, as many of the divisions in the Football League are, and a lot of the managers said to me at the start of last season, you need to give it 10 games before you get a picture of how the teams look at the moment. It looks quite a topsy-turvy league with the likes of Bromley and Boreham Wood and Sutton at the sharp end, and those aren't teams with respect that many of us would have expected to see at the top end. So it's probably a bit early. Leighton Orient and Hartlepool have come down from the Football League, have both struggled, particularly Hartlepool. So whilst Tranmere haven't had a great couple of weeks, Mickey will be very acutely aware of that. I'm going to see them in a couple of weeks' time live with the BT camera, so we'll get a close-up look then. But I'm pretty sure he's a quality and diligent enough manager to work out what the problems are. And by the time I think the 10 games have come round, we should see a clearer picture and a better Tranmere.
The kickoff on Radio City Talk, your one stop for Merseyside sport. This is Radio City Talk.